Good morning, good morning, good morning. Somebody say good morning. It's good to say good morning, amen, because it is a good morning. It's a good morning when it's November and you got a few 60-degree days in front of you. I think so. But amen. I don't know why they're saying this winter's going to be so bad, but I don't know where they get that information from. So somebody said it's because the acorns are bigger than normal this year. I don't even believe that stuff. So anyway, it'll be what it is, whatever God wants it to be, and that will be. But hey, I know we get to experience it together, and I'm just so excited to be able to be here today with you. Amen. Hey, if you got your Bibles, I just want to dig right into it here this morning. I want you, if you would, to turn to the book of Psalm 138, Psalm 138, the 138th Psalm. And we're going to do something a little unique here. We're just going to read part of a scripture here this morning, Psalm 138, and we're going to read part of verse 8 here this morning, and we're going to pray and kick off this talk here today. Here it is, Psalm 138, 8. I'm reading out of the ESV here this morning, and this is what it says. It says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me." The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much just for who you are. I thank you, God. You're such a good God, and you give us good things, Lord, and you do good things in our lives, and you care and love us so, you care about us and love us so much. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, that as we've just looked at your word, God, I pray that it would come to life inside of our lives, God. Guide me, I pray, as your servant, every word I speak, that it would be an echo to what you're saying here to your people here this morning. And God, I feel like there's some people here this morning that fought hell to be in this room. Lord, there's some people in this room here today that are absolutely desperate for something from you. And Lord, my prayer is today that they find what they're looking for. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today's going to be a weird talk. Not that my talks are ever normal, but it's different because I want you to view it like more than just a message. You know, like sometimes, you know, we come in church and we shake hands and then we come and we sing and then we sit and we hear a message and that's great. But I want you to view this as more than just 3 points and a poem. Today is going to be more of a prophetic word. And I didn't say pathetic word. I said prophetic word. You know, we get the word prophetic from the word prophet. And the word prophet is, you know, it's a New Testament gift to the church in the form of people. We see it in the Old Testament as well. Books like Isaiah, Micah, Jeremiah were written by people that were known as prophets. Ezekiel was a prophet. These were people that God put in the earth that he granted them a special insight, a specific reveal. You know what I'm saying? Like a spiritual reveal into either a group of people or a king or a nation. You know, he would give them insight as to what was going on and what needed to be done inside of that group of people, that nation or a king, you know, like we see Nathan was a prophet, you know, in scripture, who went to King David and called him out on things that David needed to do in regard to his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. And so we see that prophets are quite instrumental. And so, you know, God would show them things and then they would have the duty to go and share these things. And so, you know, I don't ever consider myself to be a prophet. You know, I'm a pastor. That's a gift to the church. However, I do, I do experience prophetic moments where, you know, you just see into things a little deeper than you normally do. And so this is one of those moments here today. I want to ask you a question. Is where you are it? Is where you are it? Is where you are supposed to be? And I want you to think about this in the context of your life. You know, like, is your, could you end it now? I mean, could your life end now? And you'd be like, I experienced all that I ever experienced that I dreamed to have. Think about it in the context of your marriage. Like, is where your marriage is it? Like it couldn't get any better than where it is right now. I mean, wow, it is just at a 10. I mean, life could end and I could have a smile on my face. I accomplished it all. Think about it in the context with your relationship with your kids or your relationship with God or you know, your job or, you know, just your purpose in life is where you are, where you're supposed to be. Because I feel, and this is where I'm going to get prophetic here, okay? I feel that there are people in several people in this room and in this nation as well, but I want to focus in on the people in this room that know they were created for something, but when they look around, they know that they are not experiencing that something they were created for. Like with your life, if you could, back in the booth, please put that picture up of that mountaintop. If you don't remember this, or you're not, you weren't here when we did this, believe it or not, in February of this past year, I asked this church to write the dreams of their life down, the dreams of their heart down on a piece of paper. I put those in a bag, I put those in a backpack, and I climbed my 200 and Jesus pound body up a mountain, and I put those there with a few other people, and I laid those dreams of our church. And I'm telling you, that journey up that mountain had me huffing, had me puffing, had me sweating, had me spitting, had me crying, I was about dying, friends. I was about to throw up. I mean, on one of the switchback trails, it was just, you can only try and take in so much breath, and my body's just like, what are we doing here? You know what I'm saying? Just trying to climb this. But when we got to the top, it was quite a journey there. But when we got there, it was like, Lord, what do we got to do? And we buried him up there, and we prayed and we cried out to God on behalf of the dreams of the people in this heart, in this church. God, let these dreams become reality. The lives of your people. This is why you made them, God, to experience this. Let it happen. Are we there yet? I don't want you to think that I'm trying to say, you know, just because you're not experienced, it doesn't mean you're not happy with your life. It's not that you're not happy with your life, but you feel deep down on the inside that there is more to your life than what you're experiencing now, that there's much more in front of you, that there are dreams that are yet to be lived out. It's not that I'm trying to say you're not happy with your marriage. Please don't hear me wrong. You could have a very happy marriage, but deep down on the inside, you know there is more to be experienced in your marriage. There's a dream that your marriage is supposed to arrive at. It's not that you're not happy with your kids, but you feel there's more. God wants to do more. There's a dream there between you and your kids that you want to arrive at. It's not that you're not happy with your relationship with God, but there's more. It's not that you're not happy with your job, but there is more. And so you often find yourself having this pull on the inside of you trying to get you there. Does this relate to anybody? And I want to be completely audience participation right now. Does this relate to anybody, or is it just me? Thank you. I needed to see that. You have this pull on the inside of you. Can I place an identity on what that pull is? That pull is instinct. That pull is your God-given instinct. That pull is something called instinct. And you know what I mean when I say instinct, right? The raw definition of instinct isn't difficult to understand. It is a natural inward impulse or prompting, watch me here, towards something. It's a natural inward impulse or prompting toward something. Job chapter 38 talks, the oldest book in the Bible, talks about God's provision to humanity in the context of all that God provides to us as human beings. And the list is long, man. I mean, if you go into 38 and even into 39, you see a lot of things that theologians just absolutely love to dig into in the context of what God gives us. And one of the things in that particular portion of Scripture that God gives us is instinct. He gives us spiritual instinct. He gives us this inward pull, this inward prompting, this inward impulse that takes us and pulls us towards something from the time we're made. I'm one of those people that believe that if God is going to plant spiritual instinct inside of you, that if God is going to put a natural pull in you that is trying to take you towards something, I'm one of those people that believe that something isn't meaningless. I'm one of those people that just happen to believe that you're being pulled to something that is meaningful. I'm one of those people that believe that it is very meaningful. I believe that something is your purpose. I believe that something is your destiny. I believe that something is your dream. I believe that something is part of the reason you're on this earth here today. I believe you were created for a purpose. And hear me now, instinct has been placed in you to pull you there. How good is God? And as your pastor, I want you to hear me in this room today. Don't ignore your instinct. Don't let anything hold you back from your purpose. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything hold you back from taking your life and walking in the direction of your dream where one day you're living inside of it. I feel like I'm supposed to tell you this because there are some people in this room that have already started to give up. Some people in this room have just given up. And look, I get the struggle, Corey. The struggle is real, right? I get it. I get life is tough. I get it. I understand it, friends. I get the struggle to see it, even though you've got the desire to want to go there. So often we allow the hell in our today to disqualify the heaven that waits for us in our tomorrow. So often. But I want to encourage you today, friends, to not give up. And know the power of your instinct. I don't know if I got some of you right now. Can you put that picture up, please? Does anybody know what this is? These are sea turtle eggs. I expect you to look at me crossways because why is he showing me sea turtle eggs, right? These are sea turtle eggs. I don't know where these eggs were laid. I don't know what beach it was at, but it's a beach somewhere. And some mama sea turtle was carrying eggs and was swimming in to the shoreline, got onto the shoreline and walked deep into the shoreline, started to dig into the sand and laid these eggs, covered those eggs up and left. Do you have that next picture? Look at this little guy. This little guy just hatched. He was just born. He is just new to life. This is the first time he's ever experienced life outside of the shell. Can I ask you a question? Where is he going? To the water, right? To the sea, to the ocean. He's going to the water. But my question is this, how does it know to go to the water? It has never seen the water before. It doesn't know what water looks like. It doesn't know what water smells like. It doesn't know what water tastes like, feels like. It's never felt water before. This little guy couldn't tell you anything about it. All he's known is sand. How can this sea turtle know the moment that it's born that where it is not where it is meant to be? Can we look at it on a video? I just love little sea turtles. I'm sorry. Let's just look at this thing on the National Geographic video. Look at this little guy just popping up out of the ground. There he is. Hello. Hey, buddy. This is live right now on a beach somewhere in Maui. Just say hi. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. But, you know, look at him. After he's born, he's got out. And this is just seconds later. This little guy is taking off and he's heading to the waters, friends. I find this video to be extremely interesting. I find this video to be extremely funny because you would think, after seeing something like this, you would think that because all they know is sand, from the moment that they're born, from the moment that they jump out of that shell, that all they know is sand, you would think that they would stick around in the sand. But something in them is pulling them toward the water, yanking them to leave where they are and head to where they're supposed to be. That something is called instinct, a natural inward impulse or prompting towards something. These little guys can't put reason to what they're doing. If they could talk, they couldn't explain it. Friends, they just know. And here's why. They weren't made to live in the sand. They were made to live in the water. My God, if Christians could just get this. I'm talking about where you are meant to be. I'm talking about where that pool has been trying to take you. That pool toward your dream. That pool toward your destiny. That pool toward your purpose. That purpose that we read about in Psalm 138:8, in which we opened this talk up with. What is that purpose God put in you to go after? Because whatever it is, allow me to echo what we shared last week in this room. The route, nay, the only route to get to your purpose is going to come through your steps of faith, friends. It's going to come from you taking steps there. It goes beyond just an amen. Faith goes beyond an amen. Faith is not yes and amen, I believe it. Faith needs your action. Faith needs your legs in order for it to be faith. James said this in his book. He says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So faith is the step you take after you say amen. And it's only going to come through your steps of faith, following the instinct that God put in your heart to take you to your purpose. Friends, I'm here to say to you today what God wants to say to you today, and it's this: don't die in your sand. Because you only have one life. One. You don't get another shot at this. We're here once. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I don't have it for you on the screen or on the app. I'm sorry. But I love what Paul said. Knowing that he was at the end of his life, he says this. He says, I have fought the good fight. He's telling Timothy this. I have finished the race. And he says, I have, watch this. Watch this. This is what he says. He says, I have kept the faith. What's faith? I believe and I'm walking in the direction of my belief and my instinct and why God made me. I have kept the faith. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God has given every single person in this room, if you would just hold on to it, if you would just keep it and not drop it and not doubt it and not let it go, he's given you enough faith to purchase your dreams. He's given you enough faith to cross your finish line. He's given you enough faith to make it to your waters. Live by faith. Trusting God, regardless of what you don't have. There's a 20-week sermon series. What do you mean? If you feel something pulling you down on the inside, it shouldn't matter what the account balance is in your checkbook. It shouldn't matter what your educational accomplishments are or are not. How many know you will always have a reason not to do something, friends? It shouldn't matter what is against you, friends, because you have the Creator of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, that is right before you, ready to take you there, friend. It shouldn't matter about anything else. It shouldn't matter what the opinions of other people should be. These people that sit on the bleachers of your life, friends, shouldn't matter what their opinions are. Why? Because they're on the bleachers. They'll always be on the bleachers. How many know people on the bleachers? All they do is clap or boo. They're not going to get on the field with you and play this game. They're just present to spectate. And don't allow the opinions of others to incarcerate your destiny. Some of you have allowed the opinions of the people on the bleachers of your life to arrest your dreams. Who cares what they say? Who cares what they say? I said, who cares what they say? Start moving from your beach to your waters, because your purpose is there waiting for you. That's it. That's the word. That's the word today. All right? God bless you guys. I'm just kidding. It really is it. That's why it wasn't like 3 points. It's just God's giving me this insight, and God wanted somebody in this room to hear this. Somebody in this room that's tired of seeing sand. Feeling sand and living in the sand, and you're ready, and you're aching, and you're desperate for the waters that are waiting for you. You're so ready. You're ready for your dream. You've been waiting. I want to ask the worship team if they would to come. Friends, I want to encourage you to keep going, friends. I don't want you to give up on your waters. Keep going. Can we show that video again? Can we go of our little friend, if we could, right? Pause. Right there. You see, I pray you see what I see right there, because what I see is a turtle with a choice. He can stay in his sand, or he can... Hold on. He can stay in his sand where it's familiar. He can stay in his sand where it's uncomfortable. He can stay in his sand, which is all he's ever known. Or he can start to break free from where he is and start to head to where he's going. But where he's going, it's unfamiliar. It's uncomfortable. It's unknown. But yet there's a pull. So he's got a choice. What am I going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to stay in your sand? Are you going to walk to your waters? Are you going to live in the comfortable? Or are you going to start walking out into the uncomfortable? There's nothing comfortable about what you just saw on that screen when I said pause. There's nothing comfortable there. It is a choice. I've got to follow my instinct. I'm not going to die here in the stand, friends. Listen to me. I'm telling you this with all sincerity in my heart, for you to get to your waters. Because the misery felt, and I feel like I need to say this, because as a pastor, you know, I cry over you people. That's how much I love you all. I want to see you get to your dream. I want to see you swimming in the waters of your purpose, friends. And I love seeing that. I get to see that at this church. I get to see it. It's so amazing just to see it and stand with people and watch them. Watch them go. It's, whoa, I get to be a part. It's so amazing. But one of the tough things about what I do is when I talk to people that are near the end of their life, and it's like you just see it on their face. You just see it. I didn't do what I should have done to get to my waters, and you just see that pain. I've never experienced it myself, obviously. We have a great opportunity here in this room. But I can tell you this, just from my observation of people, the misery felt in a life that never lived out its purpose has to be too great to measure. You know, it's that old statement, there's great pain in discipline, but there's even greater pain in regret. The purpose of this talk today is to tell you to not give up. To not give up, friends. To tell you that we're here to help. To tell you that this church, man, I'm telling you, God is shifting this church. There's a shift happening at this church. He's been speaking me to about it in prayer. Usually around September, October, I start to ask God, like, what do you want to do in the next year, God? Because I want to be as steward over this church and this ministry and all the things that come under this church. I mean, it's a lot to carry. You know, it's a lot to be here in this place of my life. And I want to be a good steward because, you know, God says that He judges pastors more than He judges other just anybody else. And so I want to do my part. You know, I want to listen to Him. What do you want me to do? I want to follow you, God. I don't want to follow my opinions. I don't want to follow my desire. All I want is to do what you want to do. And God started to speak to me just here recently that 2015, that is going to be a year where God is going to allow the platform of this church here to be a catapult to the dreams of the people that attend this church, to the dreams of the people that are going to make their way into this church, of the dreams that are going to start to come alive with inside of the people of this church, and that we're going to be instrumental inside of it. And so and that I have the responsibility now. I've been praying and asking God and pray with me and for me before I even go to our leadership with this strategy, because I'm asking God, how do I do this? How do we make the ministries of this church, every single one of them, instrumental in catapulting people to the waters of their purpose in life? And He's going to be speaking to my wife and I on that. And so be praying for us, because we want to be led, because this church is more than just a church. Sweetheart, can you join me up on this stage if you would? I want you to know that we are here to help. That we are here for the purpose of being an atmosphere around you that will nourish your instinct, that will feed your focus, that will feed your faith, that will give you the motivation, the inspiration, the encouragement, and the strength to begin to take steps toward your waters, but only you can take them. But we want to be everything that we can be to see the waters of your life happen. I mean, we want to see the dream become reality. We want to see what if become what is. How many know what I'm talking about? I want to see God do what God does all around the world right here. That's it. And I just want to say this. Number one, it's amazing to see you. So amazing. I'm sorry. I was sweaty. It was horrible for her, but it was amazing for me. Amen. Jesus is so good. Amen. But seriously, let's not laugh about that. That was serious. If you're married in this room today, because I feel like I need to say this. If you're married in this room today, I want to tell you, I know you have a dream in your heart, but your spouse has a dream in their heart too. And God has given you just as much responsibility to pursue their dream as to pursue yours. Just as much. And I've been realizing this more and more, especially since we came here. Can I tell you something that may just shock you? God never called her, never told her, you're going to be a pastor, ever. God never put the dream of Journey Church in her heart. Didn't. Not one bit. It was never a box that she had to check off in her life to say, I got to do this. Never did. You know what God called her to do? God called her to go to Africa. When she was 16 years old, that was 21 years ago. I hate to, you know, it's rude to say an age. So that means you are 27 years old. Amen. So, when she was 16 years old, at St. Peter's Assembly of God, off the corner of Mid Rivers Mall Drive and Willott, she was in a service on a Sunday night when a missionary preached, and he called people up to come to the front for an altar call. And she responded and started to seek the face of God with her hands in the air, and God called her and told her that her purpose is to make an impact in Africa. Didn't offload any other details inside of it, like, all right, this is the country and all this type of stuff and this strategy. She just knew in that moment, this is why she was made. Now, I never had that altar call experience. I was never at an altar call and a missionary, and he told me to do that. And God said, you know what, you're going to go to Africa. And that never happened. But I had a different experience. My experience led me to become a pastor. However, when we come together, you know, the scriptures say marriage is the union of two people, where it says two become one. It says one flesh in Ephesians, in Galatians, and in the Gospels from the word of Jesus. You become one flesh. That doesn't make sense to me, one flesh, when you're two different people. That explains why I was going so nuts while she was away, because half of me was gone. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where it's like, the two become one. You are one flesh. But I believe it goes beyond just one flesh. I believe that it's two dreams become one dream. And you start to work and walk hand in hand toward the dreams that God put in your heart. And I realize, friends, that it is not only my job to pursue my dream, but it is my job to even allow my dream to be a platform for her dream too. I'm telling you what, I am so excited about what God is doing and is going to be doing over there in that other nation that God put in her heart, friends. I'm excited about it, and I don't apologize for it. And the reason I say that is because we had somebody leave this church simply because we were reaching out to people in Africa. And it is immature to respond to criticism. That's why I'm not going to go down to a level and mention names. But this person's going around telling everybody how wrong it is what we're doing. And if you ask, you say, because we need to take care of our own. Take care of our own? The heck are you? People that say take care of our own, they don't donate a single dime to people in need. That's a statement that just breeds selfishness, friends. The day we start to limit and put borders around the love of God is the day we start walking in the opposite direction of the great commandment that Jesus said in Matthew 28, where he said, show love to everybody. Cover the earth in my grace and my power and my love. Give it all out. America first. Here first, home first. It's not biblical. The earth is the Lord's. We are all his people. And if anybody goes out of here saying Jesse is not proud to be an American, I apologize. I don't. You're an idiot, all right? It's not what I'm saying. I'm mad now, so I don't even know where to go. I'm just passionate about the vision in her heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, this is where we're going, friends. This is where we're headed. We're going to do great things there. And I want you to be a strength to your spouse. But let me get to my closing point on this. As I'm so honored to allow the dream God put in my heart that she has owned just as much as I own it. Like, she's owned this. Like, she realizes, like, man, this is what I was made to do, to pastor this church. Like, that's it's awesome to see that. And so together we work and we see our dreams come to life together. And I want to encourage you, friends, to stand with the one that God has put in your life to stand with. Stand with them. In Jesus' name, stand with them. And so let's do that right now. Can we stand as we close out this service experience here today? How many are tired of seeing sand? How many are tired of walking around in sand, seeing sand, feeling sand? I mean, no, we weren't made to live in the sand. We were made for the waters. And I want us to do this today because this church is going to be an atmosphere. I want us, if we would, I'm going to turn my mic off here in just a second. And this is how we're going to close the service. I want us to turn, and this may make you feel uncomfortable if you're new and you're not used to this. If you can ask anybody here, and they'll tell you this, I don't like to put people in uncomfortable situations, but this is part of the prophetic moment here, because what you see a lot in the Bible is prophets, they're not concerned about opinions when they give that word. I've got to be obedient here. And what I feel like is God wants every person in this room to be praying with somebody, whether it's groups of two or three. Nobody needs to be alone. And so I know there are people right now that are kind of off in a section alone somewhere, and you may feel out of your comfort zone. Everybody needs to be praying with somebody. Doesn't have to be just two. So you're here with your family, pray with your family. Here with your spouse, pray with your spouse. If you're here with somebody alone, you're single, find some other people here. And this is what I want you to do. Just connect with them. And right here, just take a couple minutes. Just take a couple minutes on your own time and just start to pray with them. Start to vocalize a prayer. You may not even know how to pray, because it may be new for some of you that are new to Journey Church. The word pray is a fancy word that means talk. So all you do is just tell God, God, I thank you for if it's your spouse, and say, you know, I thank you for my spouse or my friend or for my brother or my sister, you know, in Christ. Or I just pray for their dreams. I pray for their dreams to come out of their life. I pray for them to make it to their waters. I pray that nothing stands in the way or holds them back from walking, out of where they're at to where they're supposed to be. And just pray for that, and pray for the challenges that stand around them, and just wrap the love of God and the encouragement of God around them. Amen. And while you're doing that, we're going to start to sing Be Lifted High, because I know as we lift the Lord high, as we lift Him up, friends, He draws things. He makes things happen, friend. He strengthens that. That strengthens our instinct. It motivates our steps of faith to keep going. And before you know it, you're swimming. Before you know it, you are deep inside of the dream that God had for you, and we can't wait to go there with you. Amen? Amen. Come on, now let's pray. Let's just turn and go. Make sure, leaders, I want you, if you would, even...